Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the church house this morning, isn't it? We thank the Lord for the privilege to come to church, the freedom that we have to come to church, and that nobody restricts us from doing that. Nobody prevents us from doing that. There's no guards at the door that keep us from coming in. There's nobody trying to destroy our church house other than Satan. And he's doing all that he can to try to destroy anything that has to do with our Heavenly Father. But our Heavenly Father is a little bit more has a little bit more strength than what he does, and he's able to go against the fiery darts of the devil if we'll allow him to if we'll allow the Lord to work in our life. He truly will. Now we're gonna have Brother Jacob here in a second. Turn this thing off, because I don't know if you guys can hear it or not, but this fan that's going up here that's saving my life right now, because I don't know how you guys feel out there, but I'm about to suffocate in here. But he's going to have to turn this thing off, because it sounds like there's a thunderstorm coming. This thing turning around inside this microphone, it sounds like there's a thunder going on, and we're getting ready to read a little bit of the story where Jesus and his disciples are out on the waves, and I don't want you guys to think that a real thunderstorm is coming in. So we're going to have him, if he wants you, to go ahead and turn this mic off, and hopefully this one here alone will pick everything up. But we were talking a little bit this morning about obstacles and about different problems in life. And even here in our church house, there's a lot of issues going on, you know, a lot of sicknesses, a lot of people dealing with hardships, dealing with loved ones passing away, dealing with loved ones sick in the hospital. There's just so many things. You may be sick yourself or have endured some sickness. There's just a lot of things that we have to go through in this life. We really do. And we often make the statement, and I hear it said a lot, and thinking about how does people that are not saved handle these things? How do they go through these issues in life and even be able to come through them and not just be totally mentally and physically just torn down to the place where they just can't survive? And there's an answer to that. You may be able to still say, well, you know, the Lord's not the ruler of their life, but you know what? The Lord is still in your life. Do you not think that he doesn't give strength to them through the prayers of other people? I believe that he does. I mean, you pray for those that are saved, that the Lord would still help them and give them strength to go through and to bear the things that they do. And I believe that he does. I believe he honors your prayer for them on their behalf. So we have to look at the great responsibility that we have as Christians today for ourselves and for all those that are around us and for all those that we would come in contact with in this life. And that our prayers are a saving grace for so many people. And mostly for ourselves, of course. But I want us to understand just how important that it is that we keep our focus on what we're supposed to be doing, because there's a lot of distractions out there. And we're going to read a little bit this morning about the men of God here, his disciples and Jesus himself, where there were some distractions going on, and they got a few moments of fear in their life. They had a few moments of doubt in their life, had a few moments of wondering if Jesus was, I know that he's here, but is he here? I know Jesus is around. I know that's what the Bible tells me. That's what I've been taught. That's what I know. I know he's present everywhere all the time. I know that he's here. But still, Lord, are you here? We still question that. We still wonder that, because we experience that in a place where sometimes we don't have that great assurance. Because there's times in our life that we do have, especially as Christians, we have that great assurance because we can feel his presence. We know that he's here. We have communication with him, and we know that when we get in our prayer closet and we get to business with the Lord and we really reach heaven's portals, we know when we've come in contact with the Lord. Now, maybe those little frivolous prayers, and I think most of us should know what I'm talking about, those frivolous prayers maybe at times that we pray when we're not really quite as intent as what we should be, and that maybe we have a tendency maybe to go through some of the just preliminary things that we're supposed to do, but that we're not really really intently and intensely trying to get a hold of him, we may not always get that such a sense of accomplishment, that sense of communication, that not only has he heard my prayer, but he has confirmed with me that he's heard my prayer. And I feel his presence. But we also know what it is to do that. To be able to get everything shut out that is out there. Sometimes we can't do that. Do you know that? I can't do that all the time. I can't shut out the noise of this world sometimes. To get into the prayer closet and to pray and to ask God because of the fight that we're in, because of the battle that we're in, because of the storm that is here. I sometimes get in those places and pray and wondering, God, why are you not hearing my prayer? Why are you not answering my prayer? Why are you not letting me feel that accomplishment of that you're here and that it's going to be okay? Why am I having to go through this? Well, it's no different now than what it was when Jesus was with his disciples. Because they were going through the very same thing. They were experiencing the very same thing as we do, as in the spirit. But they were as in the flesh with Jesus right there with them. And they knew who Jesus was. They knew what he was able to do. They were able to visually see what it was that he was able to do, what he was capable of, of his power and of his majesty. They knew who that he was. No different than you know who that he is and what he is capable of. Why? Because you've seen him move in your life, or you've seen him move in other people's lives. Maybe we don't give credit where credit is due a lot of times, because Christ is the strength that we have. It's not within sight of any one of us, not of ourselves, but it's Christ that abides within us is where our strength comes. And we're going to read just a little scripture here in the fourth chapter of Mark's gospel. Just a few verses of where they're in a problem. they are in a hard place right now. Just going about doing the work with Christ, and seemingly just wondering how are things going to turn out. Well, here in the fourth chapter, we're going to begin in verse number 37. Here they are. Jesus has told them to pass in a ship to the other side. And so they do. It says here in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Take note of that. Think about that for a second. It wasn't just the waves were beating up against the ship. The ship was now full. This thing was getting ready to sink. This was getting ready to sink. It was full of water. The storm is there, and it seemed like there's no hope. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now what we kind of want us to, as if you would have a topic or a heading to this, is just, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? And I tell you, there's none other that can even begin to compare to our Lord and Savior. What manner of man is this? Is one that you have never seen before, never will see anyone like him again. This is the one and only. This is the only begotten Son of the Father, the only one. There is not another. The only one that can take care of you as you need to be took care of. You may have a lot of people that are able to help you, that are able to take care of you, that are able to give you assistance today. And that's great and that's wonderful. But there's none that can take care of you the way that Jesus can take care of you. But I want us to see where that they're at this time. And they're just going along in their daily duty, their daily work, as they were working with the Lord, for the Lord, going around proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming Christ, the Messiah, the one that is here. The one that is going to take away the sin of the world, going around proclaiming love and peace and hope for the world. And they're just going about their way, and they're going from one side of a lake or a sea or whatever to the other side. They're just going away on their normal business. And I want us to see something here very, very plainly. As they had sent the multitude away, you know, many, that they said at the end of that day that
They could have just rested on that side, but Jesus was very adamant about wanting to do his work, to get an accomplishment, and maybe get a little ahead on the next day. So he said, we're going to go over now. So they sent the multitude away. But I want us to understand that there was probably also other people there at that time that were in ships also. It wasn't just the disciples and Jesus that got into this one ship, and it was the only ship on this water at this time that was traveling over to the other side. I'm sure that there were other people there in other ships that were traveling alongside with them, maybe going to the very same place. And I want us to see here that as they were going, something took place. There was a great storm, a great wind, a great tempest in the water, and as maybe they were even able to see that coming down the way just a little bit, and still Jesus went into the hinder part of that boat and took a pillow and got very comfortable to the point where he was able to go to sleep. I'm sure a very much needed rest for him. And even at times whenever maybe they thought as he was down in that hinder part of that boat, and maybe they thought that, they were all alone, they were by themselves. Especially as the storms got a little bit worse. As it got a little bit worse, maybe when they first got into there, they could look and they could see maybe the lightning and the thunder and the things that were getting ready to come their way. And maybe even at that moment, in that time, they thought, well, we're okay. We got Jesus with us. Everything's all right. We don't have to worry about it. He's right there with us. Well, all of a sudden, guess what? The storm started getting a little closer. Things started getting a little bit more. The waves started getting a little bit bitter and a little bit harsh. Pretty soon, guess what was happening? The waves were crashing the side of the boat, and they were going over into the boat. And it said here in the scripture to the point where the boat was full. And I think about that, and I try to contemplate that for a second. I've never been on the ocean on a boat, but I've been up on Lake Michigan on a boat. And some kind of rough waters, but I can't imagine being in a boat to the point where the waves are crashing over it until the point where it is full of water. And that it looks like there's probably no hope. What's going to happen? If it continues this way, this is going to sink. There's no way around it. That's just how it is. And we see that in our life a lot of times. We wonder, what are we going to do? I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what you're contemplating in your life. I don't know what storm is going on around you. I don't know what's happening to you. And maybe at times right now it's looking like this ship just can't take on any more water, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm wondering where that you at, where you're at right now, by the way. Where are you at? I mean, it's not only me that's being affected. All those other boats that are out there that are traveling around us. Do we understand that in life? That whenever we go through hardship, there are others that are around us that go through hardship. Maybe those don't have Christ in the boat with them. You know that? And maybe the storm is just as hard and just as heavy upon them. And their boat is just getting just as full of water as what yours is. Well, I tell you, this can be a dangerous place for them, can it? Very dangerous. They don't have Jesus in the boat with them. But you've got Christ, and maybe even because of the winds and the waves and the hardships of life, we start wondering, okay, Lord, where you at? I know that you're here. I know that you're with me. I know that you're here. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I know that you're able to take care of me, Lord, but what's going to happen? I know that you're going to watch over me, Lord, but right now, what's going to happen? Because it's looking very dim. It's looking very bad. What's going to happen to us? We look around and we see those that are suffering also with us. And we wonder, Lord, where are you at? They need your help also. Now, it said in here that their faith was lost within them. Sometimes we can grow very weak in our faith because of the storm in life, because of the difficult things in life. We still believe and know that the Lord is able, but are we ready and we are willing to relinquish what it is that we know that He can take care of? Are we ready to let go of that to the point where He will take care of it? And you know that He's going to. Because that's a moment right there that is difficult. To truly let go of it and say, here it is, Lord, I hand it to you. I hand it to you. I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to say, okay, Lord, I've gave you enough time with it. I'm going to take it. And now, since it doesn't seem like it's going to work out your way, which is really the way that I want, but I'm going to try to take it over and make things work now. It's not going to work that way, my friend. It's not. These fellows did exactly what it was that they needed to do. They did. Doesn't Jesus give us enough confirmation within ourselves and within knowing that as long as he abides within us, everything's going to be okay? He's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to watch over us. And even as those were in the ship and it looked like things were just about to give up, as long as Jesus is with us, we don't have to worry about it. But you know what it does sometimes to us when these storms come? Do you not think that Jesus didn't know that this storm was upon him? He may have been asleep. He knew that storm was there. It was there for a purpose and a reason in these people's lives. It was there for a reason to show them something greater than what they understood in themselves. Their faith was wavering at that moment, at that time. It was getting weak. They kind of wondered what was going to happen to them. They didn't at the beginning of the storm because maybe it wasn't quite so bad. But when things really get rough, we're looking for answers and we want them right now. Their faith was getting weak. Was getting weak. But you know what got stronger? What got stronger? As their faith got a little weaker, as they started wondering, what got stronger within them? Their prayers got stronger. Their crying out unto God got a whole lot stronger. Their despair and knowing that they were of no power within themselves, they could not accomplish anything of themselves, they realized that so much greater. And sometimes that's why the storms in life need to come within our lives, is that we have to realize that there is no power within us of ourselves. None. And the longer and the harder that we try to dictate and that we try to make everything work and make everything work out the way that I believe that it's supposed to work out, the way that I want it to work out, instead of just saying, Lord, I place it in your hands. Let it be what it needs to be. I mean, isn't that the prayer that we all should have? Is, Lord, let it be what it needs to be. Because wherever that you're at in your life, no matter how hard and how difficult the situation might be, no matter how strenuous it might be on you and your family and all those around you, if that's where God wants you at in your life to learn a lesson or to draw stronger or to rely more upon him, if that's where he wants you at right then and there, that's exactly where that you need to be at. And it's for your own good, for the needness that you have of being where Jesus has put you. This is where that these men needed to be right then. They needed to be crying out to God a little bit stronger. Because they have seen miracles after miracles. They've seen Jesus do many wonderful and great things of healing people, of feeding many people, taking care of them, watching wonderful things that he's done, and yet still they're here in a boat right now, and a storm has come their way, and they're starting to doubt. They're starting to doubt. Even after they've seen the miracles, haven't every single one of us done the very same thing? I know that maybe we haven't seen the great miracles of our physical eyes to see these specific ones. But just like I told the junior church this morning when we were talking about David and Goliath, I said, don't look at these things that I'm going to get ready to tell you as a story, as just something that has been made up, something that we have to look at the scriptures as a living, breathing word of God, and that it wasn't just a story that was told, that it is something that is real and something that took place and something that happened right here. We've got to look at it that way. If not, we'll just think of it as a nice little story that's nice to be told in a reference way to help me to get through a few issues in my life. But if you just look at it that way, you're not going to see the miracle that it was, what Jesus did right here. And what he did for many, and not for just those in that boat. As they went to Christ, Jesus, wake up, Jesus. What in the world do you think's going on here? We're getting ready to die, Lord. Don't you think he already knows that? And that's kind of what he said to him, really, in my way of saying it, I guess. Don't you think I already know that? Don't you think I already know the situation that we're in? Why are you so fearful? Isn't that what he said to him? Don't you think I know it? But in his way, why are you fearful? Why are you doubting me for? What manner of man is this that I'm talking about? Am I just talking about just any man? Are we talking about just any person? This is the one. This is the only. This is the him. This is the one that we should be bowing down and crying holy, holy, holy to every day of our lives and giving him honor and glory and praise for all that he's done. Because in the storms and even whenever things are going great, he's right there for us and he's right there with us. These men, they were thinking they were going to die, and they wake Jesus up. And all Jesus has to do is say, "Peace be still." And everything calms down. Everything calms down. And the guys in the ship, they look around and they're wondering and they're fearful because of the astonishing thing that Jesus was able to do. But Jesus didn't only save those guys in that ship. He saved every guy in the other ships that were around. Maybe those that didn't have Jesus in the boat with them. The sea calmed for every single one of them. And that's what I'm going to say to you today, my lost friend today. Jesus is still in your life and he's still helping calm the seas in your life because of those that have Jesus in the boat with him. They're crying out to him upon their behalf, but if you're in the middle of their family, in the middle of the storm, he's helping you also. But I tell you, you'll never know what manner of man this is until you allow him to abide in your life, until you allow him to come into your heart, until you allow him to have the miracle done within sight of you. You can see the miracle. You can see the storm calm down. You can see how that they go through life and how that they're able to deal with it and handle it because they have Christ in the boat with them. But how do you handle it? How do you live with it? How do you deal with it? There's some manner of faith within you. I know there is, my friend. I know there is. God has put it there. And he wants you to experience it. He wants you to exercise that faith that he's given to you, more so to the point where you relinquish your life to him. Not just that you know of this man, but that you experience this man in your life. And that you realize what true freedom is. And that a true peace be still can be in your life. Because if you don't have him in the boat with you, some of the storms around may still be calming down, but there's something within you that needs to be calmed down in a much greater way. Think about those in the other boats. Just think about that for a second. As Jesus spoke the words, "Peace be still," and then the wind stopped blowing, the waves stopped pounding, the water stops filling up in the boat, and there is a great calm on the sea. You think this happened like over a matter of a couple hours? Or maybe over, you know, maybe it's almost dawn and everything just kind of calmed down, just kind of slowly? Oh, I don't think so. I think as soon as Jesus spoke it, as soon as he spoke, "Peace, be still," everything quit. I believe the rain quit. I believe the wind quit. I believe the waves had to crash down and be calm in that sea because Jesus said so. And they have to do the same thing in your life, my friend, when Christ says, "Peace be still," unto you. When he says, get them behind them. Get away from them. Leave them alone. Those waves and those things have to leave. They have to go. Why? Because Jesus proclaimed it. Who else can we trust in? What manner of man are we talking about this morning? This isn't just any man. Do you have him in your life? Is this the man that you trust in? Is this the Savior that you have? Or are you looking to another? Are you looking unto something else in this world that is something better, something bigger, something you have more confidence in? Well, I don't know how that you can. But maybe, you know, a lot of us, we're just of a tangible nature. We're just of a materialistic way. I mean, if we can't see it, feel it, touch it, and know for a fact that it's right here in front of me, then I'm not going to believe it. Well, then you're going to have a hard time getting to know Jesus. You can see him, but you're going to have eyes to see with. You can hear him, but you're going to have to be willing to have ears to hear with. Can you touch him? Maybe not with your physical hand, but I got a feeling he's going to touch you if you allow him. And you know what? You're going to know he's touching you. You're going to know that he's part of your life. You're going to know that he's there calming the storms in your life. These men wondered what was going on. What great thing was taking place. How can these seas be calming down? How can these things be much better? How can this happen? How can this take place? Who do I rely upon? Who do I look into? What do you have confidence in? Over here in the book of Psalms, the 121st Psalm, Jesus was in the bottom of the boat, sleeping, or so that they seemed to think he was sleeping. We're getting ready to read something to you, that even the perception of sleep, Jesus is not asleep. The perception that he wasn't there, or didn't understand or didn't know what was going on. How do we know that? Well, because of what the Bible says of what's going on in your life. 121st Psalm, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. What manner of man is this, my friend? What manner of man is this? He made heaven and earth. Where do you get your help from? The man that made heaven and earth, that gave everything that there ever was, that gives you everything that you ever have. What manner of man is this? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. My God don't sleep. My Jesus don't sleep. He knows of every situation. He knows of everything that we go through, of every temptation, of every problem, of every time that we fail, of every time that we succeed. He knows of everything about us, and he's there to help us in all situations. He's helping us to get better at what we're good at. He's helping us to do better when we do wrong. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shape unto thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Who? What manner of man are we talking about today? Is this just another helper that we have? Or is there something extraordinary about him today? And the biggest question is what are you doing with him? This man that we're speaking of, this Savior of the world, this one that has all power to do all things, that created all things, that is doing all things, that is giving you every moment of a breath that you are breathing in and exhaling at this moment, allowing your lungs to still function, allowing your heart to keep beating as it's beating, allowing you to sleep and get the rest at night and to keep your heart thumping throughout the night. Who is it? What manner of man is this? The one that does not slumber while you do. Even at times in life when we go to sleep on the things that we need to be awake at. The Lord is still there. He's still there watching over us, taking care of us. Who is this man? The man that made heaven and earth. He's there watching you, watching over you, watching us when we make our mistakes. And I know I could say, you know, maybe watching us whenever we just make those mistakes that are just by accident, because we all know that we don't ever do anything of our own free will that we decided to do that's wrong. He still sees those times too. You know what? He sees those. When we're contemplating something right here for the moment and we know that we shouldn't do it, he's watching us at that moment too, whenever we still decide to go ahead and do it anyway. And you know what? His love for you does not diminish one little bit. It doesn't. He loves you in spite of all the things that you might do, of the sin that you may still remain in. He loves you to the point where he will watch over you and protect you and help you. Why would he do that? Because it's his will that none would perish. He does not want anyone in this room, anyone in this world to perish as we would speak of as perishing is. And that is, what is perishing? Perishing would be thrown from an outcast from the presence of God forever. That's what perishing is. We kind of got a feeling that maybe when we think about perishing that we're just separated from some things here. Perishing, as the Bible would speak, it is a separation from God forever and forever. The torments that the rich man had to go through, there was more than one of them. There was many. What manner of man is this in your life? What is he? How is he manifesting himself to you in your life? Is it just to the point where just what we're going to allow? Yeah. That's right. He's not going to force anything on you. He's not going to force you to desire a greater spiritual life to know him better. He's not going to force these things. He's not going to force you to accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. Even though he may give you the faith to know of him, to understand what you need to do, he's not going to force you to relinquish yourself. That's why he's giving you a free will today, to choose to do whatever you want to do right or to do wrong, to choose him or to choose the things of this world, to choose pleasure of the world or to choose a spiritual life rather. What do we choose? Who is our confidence in? Where does our help come from? What manner of man is this in your life? Who is this? Do you know him today? Do you know this man named Jesus? These guys here in this boat, they knew Jesus pretty good. They spent a lot of time with him. And it seems like in all of our lives, as we would spend time with the Lord, there's still moments where we get weak and moments where we don't always do the right thing. There's moments when we allow the storms of life to overtake us to the point where we doubt what God will do for us in our life. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what storm you are facing right now at this moment. I don't know if the Lord, and I pray that he is, that he's using these storms and that he's bringing contemplation to your mind about what you're going to do with this man named Jesus. That you're going to think a little bit more about what manner of man that this truly is and what is this man in your life. What are you going to do with him today? That choice is yours to do today with him, whatever you want. What will you do with him today, my friend? That's up to you. Song leader, give us a song. This is what the Lord has for us today. For what manner of man is this? Do you know this man named Jesus? Do you want to know him if you don't know him today? Not just know of him, but know him as he's a forgiver of your sin. He's done died for him. The penalty is already paid for your sin, my friend. You don't have to pay a penalty. All you have to do is accept what Jesus done for you. And then you'll get to know what manner of man this is, much greater. Would you stand with us, please?